In the year 1901, a huge ship was constructed in the port city of Dundee, Scotland. She was owned by the Leyland Line, which at the time was part of J.P. Morgan's International Mercantile Marine Company. She would fly the British flag once she was complete. For the time period she was built in, it was a very big ship. She measured 6,223 tons. She was 447 feet long and 53 feet wide at her beam. And she had an average top speed of about 12 knots, or about 14 miles an hour. She had a triple expansion steam engine, which was powered by two double-ended boilers. Her name was the SS Californian, and it was named after the state of California. Her primary purpose was to transport cotton. She completed her sea trials, and on January 31st, 1902, the California made her maiden voyage from the shipyards there in Scotland to the city of New Orleans. She would make many crossings across the Atlantic Ocean in her lifetime. When she was 9 years old, the California took on a new captain by the name of Stanley Lord. Her most infamous voyage left London, England, 1 year later, on April 5th, 1912. She was headed to Boston, Massachusetts. A week later, after she set sail just south of Newfoundland, three large icebergs were discovered at about 7 p.m. The Californian's radio operator, a man by the name of Cyril Evans, radioed all nearby ships. About 2.5 hours later, Captain Lord spotted a large ice field and then just in time ordered the helm to make a hard right. Captain Lord decided that due to the limited visibility of night and the challenges that were now upon him, the dangerous situation he found himself in, he would essentially stop the ship and wait until morning to proceed any farther. Before retiring for the night, Captain Lord met with his chief engineer to discuss the plans for essentially staying there and waiting until light could come. During their conversation, though, they see a ship's light approaching. He goes to find Evans, the wireless radio operator, to find out if there were any other ships in the area. Evans knew of only one other ship. It was a White Star Line passenger ship called the RMS Titanic. On board the Titanic, the on-duty wireless operator, a gentleman by the name of Jack Phillips, was busy working off a substantial backload of personal messages with the wireless station at Cape Race in Newfoundland. It was about 800 miles away. At the time, it was common for individuals to write down personal messages. They could give it to the ship's radio operator, and he would verbalize that message across the airways, and it would be passed from station to station and eventually get to the recipient city, where the last person that would write it down and hand deliver the message. It was the 1912 version of our email system today, but it was all done by voice. Each message individually was spoken, recorded, and subsequently passed on. Well, Phillips, this particular night, had a huge backlog of messages that he needed to send. While Evans sent the message that they were stopped and surrounded by ice, the relative proximity of the Californian's ship to the Titanic ship made this message come through very loud in Phillips' headphones. As Evans attempted to transmit his ice message, Phillips was unable to hear a separate message that he was trying to communicate back to Cape Race. Phillips ended up yelling at Evans, saying, "Shut up! Shut up! I'm busy! I'm working with Cape Race!" Back on board the Californian, Evans ended up listening for a while longer, and at 11:30 p.m. that night, he simply turned off his radio and went to bed. 10 minutes later, as you may recall the story, Titanic hit an iceberg. The Californian was sighted from Titanic's bridge some 25 minutes later. Distress rockets were fired off. Officers aboard the Californian spotted these and other rockets, these rocket flares, and they proceeded then to call down to their captain, down to Captain Lord, who had since gone to bed. Captain Lord suggested that the California simply contact the vessel via Morris lamp, a big lamp with a light inside, and they would kind of open and close the shutters and send out a Morse code signal. But it's interesting that no effort was ever made to wake up Evans, the gentleman operating the wireless radio. At 2 a.m., the Titanic appeared to be leaving the area after firing a total of 8 white rockets. Each of these was reported to Captain Lord, who simply just continued his sleep. 20 minutes later, the Titanic sank. At 3 a.m., more rocket flares were being seen in the sky. These, though, were coming from the RMS Carpathia, who was simply signaling their approach, trying to inform Titanic, essentially saying, "We're on our way." At 5:30 a.m., Captain Lord awakes. He receives various updates about their position and what's going on in the waters around them, various events through the night, understands now to a little bit more of a severe degree what's going on, and orders the California to head to Titanic's position. The route he takes, though, is somewhat twisted. It's a very long route instead of just going directly there. Upon their arrival, upon the Californian reaching the location of where Titanic was, Carpathia had already collected all the survivors, and the Californian then was left to search the rescue, to search the wreckage, only to find that the ship that couldn't be sank was just debris at that point. While the Californian slept less than 20 nautical miles away, the Titanic found itself in an unrecoverable situation. Captain Lord ignored the events in the area, and he went to bed. The wireless operator Evans attempted to transmit the iceberg message, but then was yelled at for interrupting a backlog of work. Frustrated and angry, he simply turned off the radio of the Californian. While two key men slept, more than 1,500 people died, one of the greatest tragedies in any maritime history. Sleep is a wonderful thing when it's done at the right time. When you're attempting to warn nearby ships of an ice field, as a wireless radio operator, sleep is a bad thing. When you're receiving notices about rocket flares from a nearby ship, knowing that you're in iceberg territory, there's no time for sleep if you're the captain. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And I would like to read with you verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Paul writing, he says, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." The word awake here means metaphorically to wake up from a sluggishness, or to wake up from being lethargic. It's a process of moving out of one state and into another. The word sleep here is figurative of a spiritual sleep. It's one of only a couple references where this particular Greek word is used in this reference. But it's referencing a spiritual sleep or a spiritual torpor, which is a state of physical or mental inactivity. It's a state of being lethargic. See here, Paul, from a spiritual perspective, encourages the church here at Rome to awake, to move out of that state and move into a state of being aware, to stop sleeping spiritually, stop having this spiritual sense of mental inactivity. Again, it's this process of moving from one state to another that Paul is encouraging the church here to do. If we were to say that our life is a ship, then are you asleep in your cabin? Are you asleep in your cabin? Is your wireless radio turned off because of life's trials? Maybe someone yelled at you and you've just turned the radio off. Maybe there's difficulties and challenges that you face. Have you just shut your system down from a spiritual perspective? We're in iceberg waters, spiritually speaking. Dangerous situations all around us. Why do we sleep at a time like this? Why do we sleep? Again, verse 11, do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now is the time to prepare, to get yours and my spiritual house in order. It's time to make those preparations. A physical world around us groans and is frustrated under Satan's leadership. For 6,000 years, this world has been seeking after its own, being selfish, fulfilling its fleshly nature, its desires. But a beautiful 7,000th year awaits. We should now be preparing for that time period, for that great wedding, for the establishment of God's kingdom, for the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we should be preparing for. And as Paul mentions again in verse 11, there's a process to move out of one state and into another. Brethren, are you spiritually asleep? Are you spiritually asleep? Are you in a state of spiritual inactivity? Or are you in active preparations to be in God's family? Which state do you consider yourself in? Today, let's discuss the importance of being awake, of being alert, and in watchful preparations of our spiritual lives. Go with me, if you will, back to the book of Matthew, sort of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 36, we'll read verses 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when Jesus Christ will return, which makes the need to prepare even more urgent. We don't know if he's going to return tomorrow, next week, next month, or 20, 30, or even 100 years from now. We don't know that date. We must be preparing ourselves spiritually now. It's time to awaken out of that sleep and move into a state where we're spiritually active. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. The end time is likened to the days of Noah. Eating and drinking and marriage, those things are all okay in their context. We eat and we get married and such. But the focus during Noah's time was on themselves. It was on their own pleasures. It was not on others. It was not on serving and giving and sacrificing for the betterment of others. It was simply on themselves. Noah's world was destroyed for a lack of God involvement in the lives of the citizens. Our world is much the same, isn't it? We can look at our news headlines and even within our own neighborhoods and communities and see this tremendous degradation of values and morals. We live in a world full of turmoil and hatred and deceit and lying and backstabbing and selfishness. Noah lived in a world very similar to that as well. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and verse 7. Luke chapter 21 and verse 7. So they asked him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? You know, when I was in school, the test that I always hated was the pop quiz. Maybe you were the same way. I really hated the pop quiz. You know, those tests at the end of the chapter, I could prepare for those. I knew when they were coming. I could study a little bit each night, and, you know, I could procrastinate. I could wait until the night before and cram and get the Cliff Notes version of that book and kind of read through it. And those were the tests, not that I liked them, but I liked those tests better than the pop quiz. The ones, though, where we would walk into a class and the teacher would say, okay, pop quiz today, everyone take a piece of paper. Those are the ones that really scared me. The question here that the disciples are asking are, we don't like the pop quiz. Tell us when the test will be. What will be the sign of your coming? The end of the age. And his answer is actually quite simple. Verse 8, and he said to him, he said, take heed that you be not deceived. Make sure that you're not deceived. Seemingly simple answer, right? What are the sign of what's the sign of your coming? When's the end of the age? And his response is, in some ways, we would say a non-response. He doesn't give a date. He doesn't give those sort of things. He says, make sure that you're not deceived. Ready yourself. Make your preparations. The word deceive here is the act of convincing another to believe information that's not true. Deceive is simply the act of convincing someone else to believe information that's not true. That's what the word here, deceive, means in this context. Jesus Christ is saying, make sure that someone else doesn't convince you to believe some lie. The NIV says, watch out that you're not deceived. Watch out. Be on guard. Watch out. Look out. Back on the Californian, officers and crew observed each of the 8 rocket flares that were sent up from the Titanic. Captain Lord was notified, but convinced them that everything was okay. It was a show for the passengers, was one of the excuses that he gave. And he simply went back to sleep. Jesus Christ says it's better to guard your spiritual life and protect and strengthen your relationship with God. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to awaken out of a spiritual sleep, a spiritual drowsiness, and to move into the state of spiritual acuteness, of being fully aware of our spiritual condition. Always looking to strengthen our relationship with God. Be alert for the deception, Jesus Christ says. Be aware for people who will come in His name. That was the admonishment that He gave to His disciples. Let's continue on here. Verse 8, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. It's a serious warning not to be pulled away, not to be swayed. It was a warning for them then, and it's a warning for us now. Verse 9, but when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. There's going to be events in the world. Jesus Christ here is saying, don't focus on the events, the signs. Focus on not being deceived. Focus on your relationship with God. Focus on overcoming your sins and changing your mindset. Have that desire to change and be more like our elder brother. One theme of the Bible is the importance of preparation. Prepare properly takes being alert. We have to be alert in order to prepare properly. Being spiritually awake is to be in an active state of overcoming, an active state of learning and repenting and growing. That's the state God wants us to move into from being asleep, from having kind of a lackadaisical type approach to Christianity. This is what Jesus Christ here is saying in verses 8 and 9 to his disciples. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 again. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and let's drop down to verse 42. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. The word watch in both these verses means to give strict attention to. To give strict attention to. Or to be steadily on alert. To be steadily on alert. Both of those definitions apply some sort of active doing, don't they? There's action in those phrases, in those definitions. Jesus Christ says, watch therefore, give strict attention to, or be steadily on alert. It's not alert 1 minute and asleep the next, and alert and asleep and alert and asleep. It's steadily on alert. You're focused. You're zeroed in on God's goal and His purpose for you and me in our lives. The Complete New Testament Dictionary by Dr. Zohaites says this regarding the word watch. It means the general attitude of alertness on the part of the Christian believer in view of tests on a spiritual life. It goes to our general attitude of alertness. How alert are you spiritually? How alert am I? What am I aware of from a spiritual perspective? Am I allowing myself to make justifications and pick and choose and rip sections out of the Bible? Or am I taking it all as God wrote it? It's a general attitude of alertness. What is yours and my general attitude of spiritual alertness? An attitude of being alert to the tests of our spiritual life. What tests, though? What tests? The tests of whether we'll change, whether we'll repent, whether we'll continue to overcome and continue on a daily battle to fight our human nature. Again, verse 32 or verse 42, watch therefore. In other words, watch because. Therefore can mean because. Watch because you don't know where the icebergs will be. You don't know when they'll appear. They seem harmless on the surface, but they're gigantic under the waters. The most important item for us to watch is our spiritual health. That's what we need to be focused on. That's where our attention needs to be. That's what we need to give strict attention to, is our own individual spiritual health. Let's be making preparations to be at the wedding. We have some friends back in a state that we used to live in, one of the many states we used to live in. They were asleep one night. And as most of us are when we're asleep, we were deep asleep. These friends were deep asleep. A steam train could have rolled through and nothing would have woken them up. The night seemed fairly normal until the next morning. It was a Sunday morning. They heard a knock at the door. And the dad went and opened the door. And there was a police officer on the other side. And he said, sir, we believe you were broken into last night. And our friend said, I don't think so. And the police officer held up the purse of his wife with her driver's license and wallet and all of that. And he said, sir, I believe you were broken into last night. The story ended up going that that the thieves were in the backyards of all the neighbors, and they hit a series of houses all next to each other, and they came in through the back patio door. The thieves then kind of went through the house. The scary part is our friend's wife, his purse was in the bedroom. Which means the thieves were in the bedroom when they had broken in order to take the purse and some of the jewelry and such. To watch means to give strict attention to. That's what Jesus Christ is asking us to do. Not be deceived. Keep an eye on your spiritual health. Watch out. Be ready. Be steadily on alert. Back up to dropping down to verse 44. kind of one of his summary statements here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready. Be ready means literally to be prepared. The Greek word here literally means to be prepared. Therefore, be you prepared is how we could say this. Be you prepared, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. We don't know when the test will be, so to speak. Jesus Christ, though, is asking for us to awaken out of a spiritual sleep and to move into a state of constant awareness and constant focus on who we are to become. Let's go over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Luke chapter 12. In verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Verse 40, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Again, the word ready here is the word prepared. Jesus Christ is asking us to prepare, to not to sit back, not to take it easy, not to say things are fairly okay in my life, so I'm just going to kind of take a moment to breathe. No, Jesus Christ is saying, be ready, be prepared. Give constant attention to your spiritual condition. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. He'll find him so doing. Very much action-oriented, having that outward love, that outward concern for others, doing what he should be doing, making preparations of his own spiritual life. This is Matthew 22, verses 37 and thereabouts. That's what this is all about. The greatest two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Again, Jesus Christ wants us to watch. To watch our condition, watch our spiritual condition, making sure that we're ready. Why does he do this, though? What are we to be watching and to be ready for? We can read about this over in Revelation chapter 19, if you follow me there. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Revelation 19 verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself, notice, ready. He's made herself ready. This is you and me. This verse is about us. We've made ourselves ready. With God's help, with his involvement in our life, those preparations have been at the forefront of our mind. We've been focused on those things. We've been overcoming our sins and striving to love God with everything we have and taking care of our neighbor, taking care of our brothers and sisters. Thayer's dictionary here says that she has literally made necessary preparations. She has made necessary preparations. This wedding has come. Is coming, and the wife, the bride, has made the necessary preparations. How many women here that have been married remember their wedding day? Brides are very busy people, aren't they? There's invitations to get out, there's the perfect dress to buy, there's all the other things that go with the dress, and the veil that goes over, my hair has to be just perfect, and you know, looking through pages and pages of bridal magazines just to find just the right hairstyle. I'm going to clip that out, and this is what I want and for my wedding day. And capes and sampling capes. That was my favorite part. sampling cakes and trying different cakes and desserts and what about food and what about the guest list and all these details. And this person's flying in from out of town. Where are they going to stay and how long will they be here? And family meals and friend meals and dress rehearsals. And there's all kinds of details, aren't there? Brides are very busy people. So from a spiritual perspective, why should it be any different for us? Why shouldn't we be busy preparing spiritually? Why shouldn't we be on our knees daily, if not more? Why shouldn't we be diligently studying and fasting and asking God to help make us ready? We should. We should be. Jesus Christ's bride should be very busy people. We should be very busy from a spiritual perspective, putting God first always. We are to watch and to be ready for this wedding to occur, for us to be a part of this bride that John talks about here in Revelation chapter 19. So what would the bride wear to the wedding? We can read about that in verse 8. We can read about her garment, our garment. To her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. These individuals were ready. They were not asleep at the controls. They were not asleep down in their cabin. They were making themselves ready. They were preparing. They were praying. They were studying. They were fasting. They were looking to God as their creator. The church will have made herself spiritually ready for this wedding. And here she's represented as wearing a beautiful wedding dress, which in fact represents her righteous acts. Psalm 119 verse 172 says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Righteous acts includes obedience to God's commandments and continually to strive to follow Christ's perfect example. That's what we should be doing in our preparations. Let's go back just to a couple chapters to chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus Christ here in his own words. Revelation chapter 16 verse 15 says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Blessed is the person that is actively readying himself spiritually. Blessed is the person that's in their Bible. Blessed is the person that's constantly in prayer. Blessed is the person that's seeking to put God's kingdom first in their life. Blessed is the person that is desirous to awaken out of a spiritual sleep. These are the personal preparations for the marriage to the Lamb. The individuals that want to be a part of that wedding are here, and they're doing these things. It could be argued that the captain of the Californian was complacent. Complacency is a feeling of self-satisfaction. Captain Lord's ship was safe. It was intact, despite the fact that it was had kind of entered this ice field. It was not critically damaged. It was still afloat. But he was tired. Nothing was to happen during the night to his ship. He was satisfied with his station and the situation that he was in. Are we complacent spiritually, though? Are we complacent spiritually? Have we shut down our engines, symbolically speaking? Are we in a spiritual torpor of inactivity? Are we spiritually lethargic, just going through the motions? We kind of have our spiritual habits. We wake up, we do this, we go there. You know, we've removed certain things from our vocabulary and our thought process, and we go to church on Saturday. Are we spiritually lethargic, though? What has our growth patterns been like? These are all great things to reflect back on and think. How much have we grown in the last year, the last 6 months? How much have we grown since Passover, last spring? if it isn't much, then we may find ourselves in that spiritual sleepiness. And it's time to awake out of that state and move into a state of preparedness. How many years have you been in the church? How many Feast of Tabernacles have you attended? How many Passovers? Habits are good, but are we finding ourselves maybe in a rut? Physically speaking, we hopefully have a habit of brushing our teeth in the morning. But habits also can get old. They can get stale. Are you spiritually brushing your teeth but still half asleep? Are you going through motions but not really internalizing God's way of life anymore? Have we lost our first love? These are all great things for you and me to consider. Because Jesus Christ is preparing to come and pull this earth out of the chaos that it's in. And He wants us, you and me, to be ready, to be a part of His bride that can help usher in significant change, meaningful change to a world that is sick and dilapidated and falling apart. We should be active in our spiritual preparations. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." They didn't prepare. They weren't ready. It was time for that pop test in your history class. And you ask the girl sitting next to you, "Hey, can you help me with these answers? I haven't prepared." Verse 9, "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' 'Make your preparations,' they say." And while they went to buy, while they went to ready themselves, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" All the virgins had some level of Holy Spirit. They were all being worked with God. They had all answered the call. They were all sitting in church. But not all of them had the extra pouch. Not all of them were preparing to the same degree as the others. They were told to go and buy. A reference for us over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, where Jesus Christ says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold purified in fire, so that you may be rich, and white clothing, so you may be clothed." That's where the preparations take place. They take place with Christ. He's the one that helps with that preparation. The wise virgins here told the foolish ones, "You need to prepare. You're not ready." Which virgin are you? Are you one of the wise or one of the foolish? Are you making active daily preparations toward the kingdom of God? Or are we just going through the motions? If it's the latter, then it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up. Let's go over to the book of Revelation again, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and let's read verse 19. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Jesus Christ doesn't want us to sleep. He doesn't want us to be in that state of spiritual inactivity, that state of spiritual torpor, of where we're kind of lethargic, speaking, spiritually speaking. And so, he wants to waken us. He wants us to be ready because he wants us to be a part of his wedding, part of his bride. He loves everyone and wants to see all of us succeed. And so he cries out for us to waken, to be zealous, to repent, to make preparations, spiritually speaking. He uses again the word therefore. These people, he says, are taking it easy. They've lost the zeal. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, because of that, because of the love that I have for us, for you," he says, "be zealous, repent, love God's way of life with everything we have. Wrap our arms around it and don't let go." Christ says to be zealous and to repent, to renew our relationship with God. Return to the early days of your conversion where you were so red hot on fire and you couldn't wait until someone asked you some sort of Bible question because you just wanted to talk about it and, oh, how great was that? You wanted to share what you knew, what you were learning. Man the radio and set up the rocket flares. Be alert spiritually and be an active participant in preparing for the upcoming wedding. In conclusion, in the epic tragedy as the ship who watched the Titanic sink, the SS Californian remains forever vilified. Two key men slept while many, many people perished. Captain Stanley Lord's life would never be the same after that night of April 14th, the morning of the 15th in the year 1912. The American and British inquiries made in the wake of the sinking both found Lord's actions that night unprofessional and negligible. While no formal charges were ever filed, the broken man's career was over. He would later die a broken man. Incidentally, the Californian herself disappeared from history during World War I, a fate almost poetic in nature. The ship was sunk in 1918 by a German U-boat and as since has never been found. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians as we wrap this up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Wonderful marching orders for us here as we conclude this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul writing here, concluding this first letter to the church at Corinth, all fired up and zealous and enthusiastic toward God's way of life, helping the members that were under his care there. He says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "Watch, be alert," he says. "Stand fast in the faith. Stand firm. Don't be shaken. Don't be deceived. Don't let something knock you off your rocker so that you kind of sit back and justify why you can take a breath, spiritually speaking, and just kind of slow it down a little bit. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong." What a fantastic scripture there that Paul gives to us. Don't be spiritually asleep. Don't be spiritually inactive. Don't be spiritually lethargic. Don't be lacking spiritual vigor and energy. But rather, Paul says, be watchful. Be attentive to your spiritual condition, your spiritual wholeness, your relationship with God. Stand alert and continue your preparations of being a God being one day in the future. watch your personal house and make ready your spiritual clothes. Revelation 22 and verse 14 says, "Oh, how supremely blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Two men and a radio, the title of today's sermon. Two men and a radio. The Californian was the ship that watched Titanic sink. How alert are you? Brethren, let's be awake, let's be active, and let's make ready our spiritual house.